Just thank you. Thank you for this wonderful man of God. Father, we just pray your blessing on him as he teaches the word today. Father, I just pray that you would fill him from the top of his head to the tips of his toes with your Holy Spirit. Encounter him today, that the words that he shares would not be his own, but yours. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help us to be receptive and that we would receive whatever it is that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Well, there is. My heart's working. So, God bless you all. We're in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it's an amazing chapter, and it handles two very different subjects. It's going to bless you all. I was trying to figure out, I asked the Holy Spirit when to share what, and I just got orders from headquarters. Okay, so in verse one, as other matters, brothers and sisters, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. I love that. You know, I love walking and talking and living for Jesus. But I remind myself never to remain on a plateau. Because in my opinion, when you do that, you're leaving yourself open to not very good things. Because you've become relaxed in where you are, and now you're not prepared for the attack of the enemy. So he says, I'm telling you guys, to live in order to please God. That ought to be, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I tell myself, Father, I thank you. I'm greatly loved and highly favored. Now I'm ready to face the world and what I have to deal with. And in the world, in the environment of the world, believe me, there's always surprises. Things you did not expect. You know, it's like my son-in-law, Joseph, had an appointment for his first cousin to come work on his car. And he talked to him on Monday, but he didn't show up on Thursday because between Monday and Thursday he died. So life is full of surprises. Are you ready to handle the surprises? That's where the more and more come in. That's where the more and more, that pursuing passionately your relationship with Jesus. Verse 2, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of Jesus. Always learning. Never think of yourself as arriving. Have a heart to learn. Have a heart to receive from the Holy Spirit. Have a heart to get direction from him. Have a heart open to him always. Now, what kind of instruction? Because he goes through this instruction. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified and that you should avoid sexual immorality. What a way to start here with instruction. And it has to do with sanctification. I looked up a little definition of sanctification. Sanctification is penalty of sin. It's a knowledge as far as the penalty for sin that you've been justified by the blood of Jesus. That's number one. It's a foundational that you know that you're loved and forgiven, clean and washed by the blood of Jesus. The next one, the power of sin. The power of sin is maturing in your relationship in the grace of God. Maturing in the fact that you've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, part of sanctification. Finally, the presence of sin. That's glorification. That's the return of Jesus, what this chapter also deals with, when the one who, the tempter, is no longer there. That's so when the presence of sin or the propensity to sin is gone. And that's when Jesus returns. That's when we're with him. And there is no devil. He's been eliminated from the scenario. So then it says, should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. Before we get into this, and this is the time, I asked the Holy Spirit, what is the time in this? Guess what? If you study Genesis to Revelation, you'll find out, you know, in Revelation it talks about, there's several things that says people won't repent of. And one of them is sexual immorality. They won't repent. Now, is that something that only young people deal with? Well, you know what? The scripture kind of defines for us, it's in the Old Testament, it wasn't young people, although they were there present and had issues, but it was actually older seasoned people following God that fell morally. David, Reuben, Noah, the list goes on. So getting older doesn't get you have a greater defense. That's where the more and more comes in. That relationship with Jesus, growing more and more. Follow me? Follow that? It's all tied up together. So then each of you should learn how to control his own body in a way of that is holy and honorable. So that's where sanctification is. We're maturing in that. And I love that scripture answers scripture. It answers scripture. So when it says avoid it, there's more than one way to avoid it than Joseph running out of the room. That works. Run. But what also works is growing in the intimacy with Jesus. That's the more and more part. That's the more, and that is as giving you ability to flee immorality, running, developing relationship, knowing who you are. What is your identity? Is it wrapped up in yourself, or is it wrapped up in God himself through Jesus Christ? I have to remind myself every day who I belong to. I don't belong to me. I don't belong to self. I belong to Jesus. I'm his property. His property. And I have been adopted. I'm his son. And he introduced me to his father. And I have a father relationship that's even as good as my dad was, my heavenly father exceeds who my dad was. And that's the one I want to get to know more and more and more. It says, not as passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. You see, I'm a pastor that knows all about living an immoral life because God was not part of my life. Right? You've heard this testimony so many times, but you know, sometimes it's worth mentioning again. You know, a girl I was living in an immoral relationship with, I came to know Jesus. I hooked up with her again and said, I'm sorry, I don't do this anymore. This is why I don't do this anymore. I came into relationship with Jesus Christ. He's changing my life. And as a result, that girl gave her life to Jesus. See, it's a whole thing. It says, we don't go back to act like people that don't know God. But we as Christians need to be in a lifestyle in an environment of getting to know Him more and more. Amen? Amen? And so then in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. For the Lord will punish those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. Key here. Isn't it amazing? This is real life today. What is saying here? In that matter, we have no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. What is it? You know what this is saying? This immoral stuff is happening in the church. Man, we need to hang on to an anchor that's going to protect us and guide us and lead us, right? It's that you should not take advantage of a brother or sister. It's all in context of I, you know what? I've lived 82 years, and I want to let you know, it's more challenging today when I was a teenager. You know, I have to say, you know, Nancy and I will, we like Ninja Warrior. We're going crazy about Ninja Warrior. It's in the final things that's gone nuts. And this worship leader fell in the water and he's out of it. And I wish he could have kept going and everything else. But you know what? You know what? It's even in that. And then I grew up in a generation, I never miss a James Bond movie. As entertaining as that was, watching that as an unbeliever, there was no thought of fornication. It was normalized. It was made okay. Ninja Warrior. There's one athlete there participating, and they present her as perfect and pure as a lesbian. And they honor that as if it's normal. We live in a world, in a generation where, you know, and I believe it's because the enemy thinks his time is short, so he's accelerating things. He's accelerating. And what's the key that's going to help us? Have your eyes open, have your spirit open, because what the enemy is trying to do is normalize sin. Normalize it. It's okay. You can do what you want. Whatever you please. Because I want to make you feel good about it and not feel conviction. Because conviction leads you to repentance. And repentance leads you into relationship. and that relationship breaks the bonds and the cords, that we might live a life pleasing to Him. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as you have been warned before. You and I ought to be glad when God punishes us. Because when and really understand punishment. Punishment is not a bad thing. It's God taking you to a higher level. It's God so in love with you, so passionately in love with you. When we go astray, it's like we're that sheep that's out there, that one out of the 99, and He comes back lovingly on His arms, carrying it back to the flock. That defines punishment. A God that loves you so much that He doesn't want us to move to a lifestyle that He knows will harm us, when His heart is to protect us. All of us, myself included, parenting is all like that. We want our kid, finally we're talking about how proud he is of his son. We want to correct them, sometimes punish them, but punishment in a God sense of word is to bring healing, change, and restoration. So it's out of His great love that He says, the Lord will punish those who commit such sins, only to bring them back to repentance. Boy, this is a hot subject. It's all good, right? It's all good. It's good to be reminded. God did not call us to be impure, but to live holy lives. That's pretty self-explanatory. God didn't call us to live a reckless life. God called us to live a life honoring and pleasing God Almighty. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject human being, but God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. Key, right? We're talking about this subject of moral decay and going off in the wrong way. Now we're talking about solution. You know what? God gave you His Holy Spirit. You know what? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All have their position, the three in one. We come to Jesus. Key to being born again, come to that place. And when I did, I tell you, moral things, there's one thing that's really, I believe, because it was my own lifestyle. Immoral living produces shame. And the devil will so engage on increasing shame. And shame, what's the fruit of that? Alienation. We pull away. When God is always pulling us back in. So he says, so I got born again. What a precious gift. Sometimes the scripture defines it this way. I don't leave you on earth as orphans without a connection with the Father. What's the connection with the Father? There was a guy, old black pastor I used to listen to, his name was Frederick Casey Price. And he used to give an illustration of it. He said, you know, the Holy Spirit's like a helicopter. And he'd go like that. And he goes off, hovering over. Jesus is the way. Repent. Give your life to him. Ask for forgiveness. Lord, I receive you. Then it lands in your life. Lands in your life. And what I, you, and me are not orphans. God is giving us his Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us in the path of righteousness. Guess what? Jesus did for you and me what we could never do for ourselves. We could never get holy enough, never get pure enough, never get perfect enough to meet God's standard. Jesus did it for us. And then he gave and deposited the Holy Spirit. In a way, the Holy Spirit also needs to be fed, even though he knows everything. How do we feed it? The Word of God. The Word of God planted in our lives. And then the Holy Spirit used that toolbox and bring it to our remembrance to follow him with all our heart and soul and mind. Holy Spirit, what a gift, what a gift. Now about love for one another. We do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Taught by God to love one another. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. I'm glad that came out of the mouth of one of them, Jesus, who paid the price for us. What Jesus said? You know how the world's going to identify you? By your love for one another. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, always say the same thing. The three in one. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet, I urge you, brothers and sisters, this phrase over again. What is the solution to winning in life and living for Jesus with a whole heart? More and more. Never a plateau. Never climbing higher all the time. Never landing on a plateau and staying there. God has us climbing higher and higher. Or the words used in this chapter, in both cases, more and more. More and more. More and more. More and more. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so. Do what? Love one another more and more and more and more. Because there'll be plenty of opportunity for you to shut a brother and sister out of your life and shut them out. When God wants us to engage and love one another. Not by our own power, but the power of the Holy Spirit deposited in our life. In our life. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you. That's brother, that's working with your hands, what you're pursuing. You know, don't forget to work with your hands. Don't be a busybody. Live a quiet life. A quiet life does not mean not engaging, not directing. It means a mouth and words seasoned by the Holy Spirit in you, that the words you speak are life-giving to people. That's a quiet life. Quiet life. So, your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Guys, as a church, as a person, myself and all of you, you know, it's our calling to win the respect of others. And you know, just a clue for myself, pass it on, no charge. But I'm a guy that's very, very been motivated by the Holy Spirit to say the right words at the right time. And if you like me, if you ask him for that, if you ask him for the right words at the right time, when you feel like rah, you'll have this Holy Spirit say, well, hold your peace. Now's not the time to talk. I'll show you when to talk. I'll show you when to say things. In fact, I'll even tell you what to say. Just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust God enough to be the potter holding you and making you into a beautiful image of what God wants you to be. Trust the potter. Trust him. We're good. We're good for time. Because now everything switches. Ready to switch gears? It's all switching now. Did you get what you heard already? Did you get it? Keep it. Grow it more and more. God doesn't want you looking like the world. He wants you to look like his Heavenly Father. Not like the world. He wants you to look like Jesus. Not like the world. He wants you to look like somebody really listening and loving the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit that's in you. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come early on in his birth? So that God could be in you, the hope of glory. Now switch gears. Let's switch gears to Juan kind of mentioned a little bit. I told him this is not a big extensive study of the second coming of Jesus. But it says, brothers and sisters, do not want you to be uninformed about those who fall asleep in death, so that you will not grieve like the rest of mankind, but have no hope. No hope. We have hope. The hope. I've said this before. You know what the definition of hope is in the Bible when he says we have the hope of our salvation? Here's the English words for hope. A positive expectation of good. That's our life. That's the hope we have. A positive expectation of good. That God's going to heal things. God's going to bring health. God's going to just keep talking it up. Keep talking and confessing it. God and his presence in your life only has one purpose, to do good to you. That's our hope. So, we should feel sorry for unbelievers because they don't have that hope. They don't have it. It's not theirs to possess. It only comes through Jesus. two things I really love as a pastor, I guess three things, talking to you guys, but two key things out of this building that I love, funerals and weddings. Funerals and weddings. And I hardly can choose which I love more, funerals or weddings. But I love funerals because you might have people's attention then, and you can talk to them about eternity and Jesus and the gospel and truth and everything else. But and what's really rewarding to me when I know the person that passed away is now with Jesus, which is far better. Weddings, they're good too. Talking to young people with all their desires and hopes for the future and all that God has for you, and try to do that in a way that would be honoring to Jesus and encouraging them in the decision they made to spend their lives together. Let's get back to this again. For we believe Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Key. Our whole faith is based on Jesus won it all at the cross. And he said it's finished. He completed the task that we could never do in ourselves. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God, voluntarily died, shed his blood, and for the once and for all forgiveness of our sins, that like in Hebrews it says that we have a relationship with Almighty God, that he says, here's what he says to you and me as believers, I will remember your sins no more. So, when that enemy of ours is still hanging around until he's thrown in the pit, he's a great reminder of your failures. He's a master liar of your failures. He can come to you and say, I saw what you did. And you know what? I don't think God will forgive you. A lie. I've cleansed with his blood shed on the cross, according to the word of God, brought us into a place of the Father that he will remember our sins no more. We're holy in his sight. Not because of what we do, it's because of what he did. He accomplished that on the cross. And he rose again. Oh, what a terrible scenario it would be for us today if we ever discovered that Jesus never rose from the dead. He made sure it was truth that could never be denied, because he showed himself to hundreds of people. And he even had Thomas that a little doubt. Touch me, brother. It's me, flesh and blood, risen from the dead. He died and he rose again. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. That's a wonderful, beautiful thing for me to know that my dad and mom are going to beat me there. All those that we miss so dearly in our life, they'll be there first, and then we get to meet them. I think the plan of God is amazing, that the dead in Christ arise first, then we will come and have this beautiful celebration and party, not only for seeing Jesus, but seeing all those who have left before us. I think that's a perfect order, that the dead should rise first, and then we should come and meet them in the air. It's a beautiful thing. And then he says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. I stopped for, this morning, I was sitting back right over there. I said, give me more insight into a loud command. Is that Jesus go, hey! You know, really loud speaking? Is it a loud voice? Hey, guys! You know, speaking really loud. That was not too loud, was it? But I said, Holy Spirit, what do you mean when he's coming back? What does this mean when he says he's coming back with a loud command? I'm not saying this is entirely it, but this is all I got. Loud commands means everybody on the earth will know.
That's right.
It's not necessarily volume, but it's experience what just happened. And the whole world will know when he returns. And the voice of the archangel and the trump call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. All this stuff happens, all this just supernatural happening. It's a loud archangel, trump, not president, trumpet, call of God, dead rise in Christ. In a twinkling of an eye. Think about it. This coming, this knowledge of what just happened. We're not depending on social media. Hey, he came back over here and everybody's talking about it. You know? In a twinkling of an eye, everybody in the world at that time will know something just happened. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. All happens. Then we follow. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And I hope this message for you will be an encouragement. So worship leaders, get ready here. And I'd just like to pray about what you just heard in Jesus' name. There you go. Get settled down here. It's all good. It's all good. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for all of us here at the gathering place, and I also pray for myself. Father God, that we will be a people that will never tire of knowing who you are and what your word says. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will give us the toolbox and the tools to use, Father God, when the enemy comes to tempt us and lie to us. And Father God, that we'll be a people that will know better and say, no. Beautiful word, no, N-O, no. I belong to Jesus. Father God, I pray, Lord, that we as a church, our identity would not be wrapped up in what we've done good or done bad, but our identity would be all wrapped around the God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that Jesus gave his life, that you and I can have life and more abundantly. Father God, that we can have victory over the flesh. And Father God, the spirit will always trump the flesh. And Father God, and we will allow that to happen, willingly allow that to happen. And Father God, as far as your second coming comes, Father God, the time we have left here on earth, Father God, may we grow more and more in relationship with you. Grow more and more in a heart to follow you and take your lead in our life, Father God. That the more and more and more and more will be just part of our living, Father God. Father God, that we would grow more and more in our relationship with Jesus, Father God. And Father God, that we as a church, Father God, will be hungry for the Word of God. Hunger. For he said in a prayer, hunger and thirst after righteousness, that's where you'll find satisfaction. Father God, that will hunger for you, Father God. From our waking moments in the morning, Father God, we will be talking to you and saying, God, I don't know what this day holds for me, but I want to hold on for you, onto you for this whole day, Father God. Deliver me from distraction and my mind just going places where it doesn't need to go, Father God. But the mind of Christ, Father, and this people here will dwell in them richly in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if you could agree with that prayer, could you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you all. God keep you. God just honor your relationships. God build hope in these people. Hope, just a total positive expectation of good. Because that's what your heart is for us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.